Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I want to welcome you to the Radio for Your Mind. I tell you, I am stoked because although it's a frigid day at the beach, it is drop-dead gorgeous, not a cloud in the sky. Today, we are jumping right in. This is one of the longest chapters that Eric has in the book, and I think it's one of the most important. It's called Winners and Losers in a 140-Character World. Now, if any of you aren't out there using Tumblr or Twitter, you know, or you don't update your update over at Facebook, then you may be a little bit perplexed. You may say, man, I don't even know what all this stuff is. That's all right. You know, just hang in here with us because we're going to talk about how to make this happen. And I know a lot of you have probably gotten emails. And you notice that in the email now, it's got a what they call tiny URL. It's a shortened URL. It's not at all like it used to be. And the reason that is because people have become more used to their eyes just scan and that's it. And we talked yesterday a little bit about the fact that short ad copy works better than long ad copy. Well, today we're actually getting into podcasting, what that means, how that helps, how that benefits. You know, what's the power behind that? You'll notice that Jim and I on all of our radio shows, you know, we podcast this stuff. We have it out there so people can get it. People can see it. They can download it and listen to it. And that's huge. And what's really big is the fact that it's not all about advertising. It's not all about the professionalism. Subscriber or listen to content. It's that amateur content. And one of the things that we've seen, and one of the things that Eric just hits head on this thing, is the fact that podcasts are not like your 30-minute TV shows or your hour-long TV shows. It's not even really a lot like talk radio anymore. It's more along the lines of what I would call a CNN headline news. You know, these podcasts could last 15 to 30 minutes, depending on what's going on. If any of you guys have followed my video posts, you'll notice I do 10 minutes or less so that we can get it up on YouTube and that it will go out. And that's what people are looking for. People are not looking for a boatload of garbage that lasts hours and hours and hours. What they're looking for is solid, heavy-duty, powerful content. They want value. And that's one of the reasons that when Jim and I do the radio shows, you don't hear a lot of advertising. Now, if you've listened to any of our shows, you will notice that we pepper some stuff in there. And Eric touches on this. And guys, if you go back and listen, you'll notice just about the time when I started studying what Eric had to say. It was literally through studying his content in this book, looking at his blog, watching his videos, where he was coming from, that I was able to start putting some things together. We started shooting video posts on different companies. I would mention different CEOs or companies in the conversation. See, in today's world, it's not about slapping people upside the head with an advertisement, stopping your radio show, and saying, by the way, you need to go buy Acme ointment. It's going to help your hair grow back. That's not what this is about. It's not a soap opera. It's not the traditional radio spots where you spend millions of dollars hoping that you'll get something. When you're doing a podcast, what it amounts to is you enter into the conversation something that's important to you. I started doing this on my blog probably a year ago. We don't put anything on our blog that we do not use personally ourselves somehow in building our business. If we've used it, if we love it, if we like it, then we start telling people about it. That's what sets us apart from your typical person who's looking for affiliates to go out there and try to make money. You know, we just saw that it didn't work that way. We tried it. We did some niche stuff. Didn't have the success. As soon as we started utilizing affiliates in stuff that we used, whether it was companies that we owned or had equity in, I should say, like MLM Leads or DeskPing, to companies where we would use the product and became friends with the owners, like Opportunity Connection and the Home Biz Connection magazine. Those are some examples. I would call companies, and Jimmy's done this, where just like with Vima that we did a while back, you know, we called the company, told the owner what we wanted, started following him, became friends, and then we shot some video posts on the success of their company. We've had some other companies that we've done that with, and we've done some reviews, although we also have issued some cautions because there's some things that we still question whether or not it will be totally successful the way it needs to be. You know, those are the way that you interact with people. That's the podcast. That's how they work. Because you want to be able to get people to not only listen to the content, but you want it to become viral. And you don't want to be, and we talked about this yesterday, and Eric makes it very clear in the book, you do not want to be a well-rounded person. You want to be an expert and an authority in specific areas. And if you're looking at your niche, maybe you're a chiropractor, and you've got a niche, and you're going to be working on that niche. If that's the case, then what you do is you find out, okay, what is everybody else doing, and what can I do different? I've got a good friend of mine here in town, Dr. Tim Douglas, that's a chiropractor. It's his second practice. He's got another one up north, and he came down here to live, and he opened up a new practice. Well, he went around, and he looked around at what everybody else was doing, and he realized nobody had this gigantic, cool-looking x-ray machine that would allow him to take his actual practice a step up and be able to give people what other people haven't. He invested the money, he made it happen, he put it out there, and bam, now he's got an expertise in his niche that other people don't have. Same thing in network marketing, and we talked about this. I'm not the greatest prospector in the whole world, nor do I pretend to be. My whole focus is helping people to find the company that they need to be in and exposing companies that have questionable business models. It's that plain and simple. Now, we do a lot of training on the internet. We teach people all that. But when you go to our websites, each of our websites really, they tend to focus in on specific areas. And that's what you want to do. Your videos, your audios, anything that you do needs to be very targeted for what you're doing. And that's the cool thing about what Eric talks about in here. And when you do it right and you really get a bunch of raving fans, you get people to hang out with you, you get people to be around you, all of a sudden, things start to change. You know, the people that watch my Secrets That Men Keep video spot, my streaming audio or video on the internet, the TV, they're different people than listen to Radio for Your Mind. And the people that listen to Radio for the Mind, for the most part, are a whole different category of people than listen to Aces Radio on Friday. The people that watch my videos over at MLM Help Desk are substantially different types of people than the ones that watch my videos over at TroyDooley.com. And it's because the focus is different. But when you become an expert and you're trying to target your site so that it becomes the expert in that conversation, the authority in that conversation, things start to move. And that's the cool part. And, you know, Eric writes in here that what's different between podcasts and traditional 30-second radio advertisements about the sponsor is the fact that with your podcast, you're not stopping the show. You're continuing with the show. You're just adding in there a specific piece of information about the sponsor or about well, it could be the sponsor. It could just be like Jim and I do. We just throw things in there about specific companies because we know they're good and people are listening. You know, that's the key here. And I think if people understand socialnomics, then they're going to understand real quick that, and this is how Eric writes this, the most socialnomic piece of all in regards to podcasts is that advertising isn't wrapped around the content, but whether it's an integral part of the content. See, that's the kicker here. You're not trying to advertise. You're not trying to push something on somebody. What you're trying to do is engage them in the conversation and have them go out and check out what you're doing. A person that's really good at this happens to be Glenn Beck because he's constantly doing his own advertising and he talks about the gold. He's big into gold, so he talks about the gold that he's purchased and all that kind of stuff. That's the amazing part about the way this is done, when it's done correctly. And I think that's the key. One of the things that Eric writes in here, and I like this, he's talking about a radio show called Fantasy Football Today from ESPN. He says the producers had people write to the show requesting to be super fans. And here's why they did this. Now, they could have said, fill out a survey or do something like that. But what he's trying to do, again, is engage their audience. So these folks were writing in to be super fans about their particular team. Here's the kicker. What a way to build a targeted list. See, everybody thinks that Facebook, everybody thinks that social media, period, no matter what it is all about building big lists. And they don't understand that it's not about the list. It's about the targeted audience that make up the list. And if you've got a tight, small, targeted audience, you can end up making more money than you can with a gigantic numbers list. That's the kicker here. And that's what people don't understand. I've got a very tight list at Facebook. And if I'm not already friends with somebody when they ask to be my friend, I don't say yes to them. I wait until I see if they've connected with anybody else that's in my network. If they're not connecting with other people in my network and they haven't sent me a personal message saying, hey, this is why I want to be your friend, we don't connect. I'm very specific on that. And I'm getting more and more specific on the fact that if you don't have your picture on Facebook, if it's some logo or it's some, just an empty avatar, you're done. You're not going to stick. Because I'm not worried about numbers. I'm worried about people that I can help. You know, what's the approach? How can I help them? One of the things that Eric talks about that they did when he was watching this fantasy football is that they started getting people, the raving fans, to say, hey, what would you suggest that we do? What's some of the criteria? And one of the people wrote in and said, well, we think that one of the minimum requirements should be a donation to the Jimmy V Foundation for Fight Against Cancer. Well, as soon as they put that on the air, all of a sudden people started writing in on why they should be a raving fan, and they were putting their receipts for $25. So they started helping a social cause. I thought, man, what a powerful way to make this happen. Because, see, when you're doing things correctly, when you're helping others, when you're reaching out, it's a win-win. Now, here's the other cool thing about podcasting. If you do this right, and Jimmy and I haven't done it lately, except on Aces Radio Live, but everybody would love to have that 15 minutes of fame, hearing themselves on the radio, telling their friends they're going to be out there. So when you do live call-in, or when you suggest that, hey, if you're a super fan, you're going to get a little bit of time each month where you can share about your team, people get excited. All of a sudden they put that up on their Facebook, their Twitter, their MySpace, telling everybody, hey, I'm going to be on this radio show. Come check it out. You know, that's the key. Now, I had a guy over last night. He didn't like the fact that I said something about his company and put a scam alert out. So he said, well, Troy, you must not be, you must be deceptive yourself, because you have this widget on your website and it says subscribers, and isn't that fan pages or view pages? And I had to write back and say, no, the actual pages are down below and it's over 300,000. You know, but when I looked at that, I thought, you know, that can be a little bit deceptive. He's the first person out of over 100,000 people that have been on the site that think that. But based on that one person, that feedback, we're responding to that. We're going to be changing the word subscriber today to raving fans on purpose, because we listen to what the feedback is, even if it comes from a critic. And see, more and more companies are doing that. One of the things that we've noticed, and Eric writes so eloquently about this in the book, is that the companies that have embraced socialnomics, the companies that are out there using social media, they don't worry about copyright infringement right off the bat. And I'll give you a prime example. I have several clips from Fox Business where they have interviewed successful CEOs of network marketing companies. And we put them up on YouTube. We put them up on our blog. Well, we did get a message from YouTube saying, hey, we know that this is a possible copyright infringement. You don't need to do nothing else. Your videos are still being viewed because Fox Business or the News Corp has given permission, and they're cool with it. They don't have a problem, you know, at all. See, that's the cool thing when you actually do things right. Companies say, okay, if this isn't derogatory, inflammatory, degrading, then we're cool with all this, because they know it helps spread their brand. They know more and more people are going to get in there. And one of the cool things, and this is the way Eric writes this, he says, in a socialnomic world, companies need to relinquish total control that they've had over the last few centuries and allow users, consumers, viewers, and so on to take their rightful ownership. See, that's the key. When you've got a brand you like, you roll with it. Now, one of the first companies to ever do this was Coke. Coke wanted their name on everything. And, you know, eventually it got so big that everybody has something usually around their house they can find that's got the name Coke on it. And people would fight for it. Now we see it in NASCAR. We're starting to see it more and more in big sports like baseball and NFL and basketball. You know, where the names are actually on the stuff. We see it hugely in soccer. We've got two or three network marketing companies that have soccer teams. We see it in the different, not just in NASCAR, but in the Indy racing circuit also, where we've got Monavie and I think Herbalife have a car. I mean, this is getting bigger and bigger and bigger because everybody's going out there and saying, hey, we want our brand out there. BK Brieco at Bima is still, I think, the leader in this because he calls everybody family and brand partners. And when you look at that, it's like, you know what, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be brand partners when you're in business. You're partnering with people. That's the power behind all this. Now, as Eric moved on, he started talking about Twitter. And he has a little statement in here I love. He said, is Dale Carnegie rolling over in his grave because everyone on Twitter is trying to be heard when the key to winning friends and influencing people is to actually be listening? And see, that's one of the things that I do differently on Facebook and Twitter that other people do. I don't just go out of my way to Twitter everything. I only Twitter important stuff. And I look and I listen and I follow other people so that I can learn what they're saying. I can see what they feel is important. That's something that I've always done. One of the reasons that our blog is so successful in network marketing is for two reasons. One, we opened up the comment section and we allow positive and negative comments to be shared, whether they're directed at us or directed at the company. It doesn't matter because people want to be heard. They want to know there's a platform where they can get their message out. They don't have to agree with you and you can still be friends. And there's a lot of people on our blog that we do not see eye to eye on different things, but you know what? We've become pretty good friends and we chat amongst ourselves. This is the key to the 21st century using social nomics. Same thing with Twitter. I don't follow near as many people that follow me, but the people that I follow I feel are very important. And that's what we do. We're in a lot of lists. I don't follow anybody's list right now, but we have people following us and putting our Twitter messages up in their list. They feel that it's important. If you have value to share with people, then it's important. People will see that. They'll want to be a part of your network, your community, i.e., that's why they call it network marketing. And it's a pretty powerful thing. Eric moves on to the TV. And it's interesting. He titles this, TV Repeats Mistakes of the Music Industry. And as I read this little subchapter in his book here, I thought, man, he is so right on this because a few years ago when Napster took off and people were doing the free downloads and they were sharing music, the music industry went nuts. It's, oh my gosh, we're suing everybody, and they did. And they won in court. But what they did was they lost in the eyes of the consumer. And it got worse and worse. So eventually they had to actually go out there, and you see where Apple made iTunes, and now you can download music from Walmart and all this other stuff because that was the wave of the future. And had they embraced it at the time, they probably could have created different business that would have been totally phenomenal. I mean, it would have just kicked some butt. Well, we started seeing TV do the same thing. You know, the last Olympics, they didn't hear it live streaming on the Internet. But yet we see Victoria's Secrets doing their stuff. We see baseball games on there. We see all kinds of stuff. We even, Hula, which is now the sixth largest web video site where people go over and they search and they watch movies and all this other stuff, they understood it. See, the concept here is instant. With the smartphones and all that stuff going on, people want to be able to grab it right now. They want to be able to go and watch. Like when I miss a show on USA, Burn Notice on Thursday nights, if I miss that, I may go over to USA Today and watch it again. There's times when I've missed whole series because I was busy or it was on at the wrong time, and I'll go download and watch it later. You know, it keeps me branded to that television show. It keeps me in tune with that station. Same thing rings true with what you're doing. That's why we archive all these shows. This is why I strongly suggest that people do some type of audio. Even if all you're doing is conference calls. The days of free conferencing is out the window. Okay, seriously, every conference call you do should be broadcast at Blog Talk Radio or some other type of service like that where people can listen to it online, they can call into the number, and then it's archived forever for potential prospects to listen to. I mean, that's the power. If you want to get in the 21st century and build an online business, that's the way to do it. You know, go out of your way to become the expert because the old metrics are gone, and the only way to truly track if you're being successful is to do it online. I mean, that truly is the key. Now, the other thing that I tell everybody, and this is one of the reasons that I sat here and I looked at this critic on my blog today, is that you don't ever want to lie to your audience. You want your audience to know that they can trust everything that you say. If you make a mistake, if the facts change, then you go and you republish and you correct it. It's that plain and simple. You know, those are the keys to what we're doing and the way we're supposed to be doing it. And when Eric, when I read his little part that said don't lie to audience, I pulled the team together and said, okay, look, we've got this widget. It says subscribers. You know, we've got more subscribers that are in the widget when you add up everything, but how can we correct this so that people don't think that we're being deceptive? And they said, why don't we just call it raving fans? That's general, but it's true because everybody can see through the comments. I said, perfect, let's roll with it. You know, you put stuff together to where you're authentic and you're transparent at any given time. You have your weaknesses, you have your strengths. You play to your strengths, and you find other people that can make your weaknesses, basically cover them up with their strengths, and you let them run with that. You don't try to run with it. You know, there's no reason to. Now, the other thing that we talk about in here, a lot of people on YouTube, now, we're covering a lot of stuff today, guys, and the reason that we are is because this is one of the longer chapters. But you got to remember, it's a 140-character world. You're using video, you're using audio, you're trying to get a good tagline that will grab people. That's one of the reasons that right now I'm using the tagline on my TV program, Troy Dooley's Morning Coffee Reflection, Secrets That Men Keep, because that's compelling. It's something that shows it's there. People will listen. You know, that's what you want to do. The reason that I title stuff Scam Alert is because I want people to understand this is an alert. This is something that you need to be aware of. You know, we're going to be shooting a video today explaining what is a scam alert. And why is this so important? So that people understand. Because I think that it's a misnomer. People don't understand what a scam alert is. They don't understand when you do a company review what you're saying. You know, and those are things that you want to make sure. When you're talking about your company, don't be a propaganda machine for the company. The days of don't pass negatives down, only pass them up. That's gone. That's the most antiquated thinking under the sun. It's social media. All they got to do is go onto the internet and they start seeing the stuff you're covering up. There's no reason to do that. Just be straightforward and say, hey, we got issues. This is where we're weak. This is where we're strong. If you love your brand, that's what you'll do. Kuba Fabriz, who runs GI Connect, he owns that company. I asked him one day, I said, why do you let people sell competing products on their website? He goes, why not? If I have the best product, they won't want to sell somebody else's. If I don't have the best product, I want to know what other people are selling so I can go get better. I thought, makes sense to me. He's a businessman. That's the name of the game. And that's what you want to do. You want to make sure whatever your business is, that you're paying attention to what the people are saying, that you're paying attention to the way it's supposed to be. Because if you're not, you'll lose. It's that plain and simple. Now, whether you're doing audio, whether you're doing video, whether you're just putting up something on a blog or over at Facebook, there's going to be times when you're going to be trying to advertise. You're going to be trying to market. And you have to do it correctly, because if you don't, you're going to find out you don't have anybody in your network anymore. It's that plain and simple. And advertising or marketing, whatever you want to call it, can be effective if it's done right. Eric writes in his book this way, because social media lends itself to unobtrusive advertising, that makes advertising effective. In a 2008 survey done by the the Razorfish Company. And they titled it the Razorfish Consumer Experience Report. 76% of the 1,006 people surveyed said that they don't mind seeing ads when they log in to Facebook, MySpace, or other social media sites. Razorfish also found that 40% of the respondents said they had made purchases after seeing those ads. Now, that's a higher percentage rate than anything in email marketing. It's more than what you'll get on TV. Matter of fact, email marketing right now is down to about 2%. So if I'm advertising, and I know that 40% of my respondents, if I do this right, are going to buy, heck yeah, I'm going to be doing it. But it's going to be done in a manner that is non-intrusive. It's going to be done in a manner that actually engages the people that I'm talking with. And see, that's the key. You can't just go out there and spam somebody's wall with, hey, here's my business. That will not work. People don't want that. People are looking for friends. People want people who respect them. If you go out there, just like we've talked about it in Eric's book, and you hang with people, then you guys are going to be sharing back and forth. You're going to be saying, hey, I got to get a new car seat. Hey, I'm looking for a new fishing pole. Hey, I'm looking for a really romantic place I can take my wife out tonight. And even though this is going to sound crazy, we did this the other day. I found out to be true. I've got a tight network, and a few of my people, we go to church together. We're couples. We have the same type of likes and behaviors. So I did a little private deal out and said, hey, guys, I want to take Paige somewhere really hot and romantic after dinner out on the beach anywhere. You guys know where there's any secluded places, you know, where it can just be me and her. I got all kinds of ideas back from guys that live right here on the island with me. We're not talking about teenage boys. We're talking about guys in their late 30s, early 40s. And they said, dude, here's where we hang out. I mean, this is one of the greatest places, and we won't be there tonight. And it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. I mean, that's what a tight network is. Now, were we splitting money or any of that? No. But when you've got that kind of camaraderie in your network and they know that they can trust you, sky's the limit. That's the way it will, way it goes. Now, here's what you've got to look at. And Eric writes this, and I couldn't say it any better. Content and conversation drive awareness for your product, not advertising. See, if you're listening to what people are saying, if you're understanding where they're coming from, here's what you're capable of doing. You see somebody has a need, you join the conversation, and then you mention, hey, you know what? I actually have a product that I've been using that may help you. I'm not sure if it will or not, but if you're interested, I'll be more than happy to send you a link offline. I don't want to do it right here because I don't want people to think I'm just trying to spam the board. But if you'll send me a quick note, I'll shoot it to you offline. That plain and simple. You're asking for permission. They're granting permission. You're passing on the information, and you're not spamming a conversation that you didn't even start. See, that's the kicker here, folks, if you're going to make it happen and make it happen right. There's no way around that. If it's not done right, you lose. It's that plain and simple. So here's what I want you to say. No person or company is perfect. You know, so you've got to be the best that out there to admit your faults, to admit your strengths, and you let the public respect you for that. That's the key. All the time. Don't try to just put out propaganda. Number two, advertising historically has been wrapped around the outside of the content. If you're going to be in the middle of socialnomics and using social media, the advertising has to be a part of the content. That's simple. Your customers and fans today are the potential competition tomorrow. So you got to understand that everybody out there is watching you. They're looking at you. They want to see what you're doing. You got to be on your toes. You got to be cranking it forward. You want to be more like Dale Carnegie. If you haven't bought the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, go buy it. It's the greatest historical. It's wonderful, but that's what you want to do. Listen first, sell second. It's better to live a social media life making mistakes than living a social media life doing nothing at all. You'll never win that way. And don't forget that search engine optimization and social media go hand in hand. You got to be able to master both. We'll be talking about that in the future. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. We will see you back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.